The topic of my presentation is going to be evaluation of sexually transmitted infection related health information on internet. Before I start my presentation, I'd like to briefly introduce myself. I am the director for Center for Program Informatics with the University of Nebraska Medical Center, and I'm also the assistant professor for Center for Global Health and Development. I have no relevant financial or non-financial relationships to disclose. I have one disclosure to make, that in 2002 when I came to US, I didn't know how to use internet. I was a hardcore medical practitioner in India. I went to Boston Medical Center. So in 2002, that was my first place where I came. I have my MD medicine practicing, but I moved to my new career into public health and then did my master's in public health from Boston University with my majors in epidemiology and biostatistics, and then continued to do my PhD in public health informatics. So I can say that I am being at the intersection of technology, healthcare, clinical medicine, and public health. I would like to acknowledge some of my team members. All these three are one from the policy from the global health side. Dr. Rajaram is from the Center for Health Disparities and an infectious disease epidemiologist, as well as on interest in sexual health. And then we had a master's in public health infectious epidemiology student. I would like to present basically on what kind of technologies we are using and how we have applied those principles in the area of sexual health. I've been listening to a lot of conversations, a lot of discussions here in the field of HIIT. There's an information overload, to be honest. So sometimes it becomes a difficult challenge, like how to really look at that. So even briefly, everything is multidimensional. And we are capturing the data in time, so which means what time we are having the session. That's also one of the ways of looking at it. We are looking at attribute, who is the presenter, what his research is, from where he's coming. So I'm trying to give a context on what we are working in this HIT world right now. And the third is the place from where the person is coming. So if you apply these three kind of things, even though these are three looking simple circles, it is a huge amount of multidimensional data which is there. The challenge is human mind cannot process all the data. There is some information I can retain. I can retain some of the information about some of the sessions. But then there is the information lost. And even those information which has been retained, there is an information overload which impacts decision making. So the idea is, how can human-centered informatic approaches can be utilized to aid human mind to process the data which can retain the information and reduce the information overload? That's kind of a premises on which all our research is built, on how to come up with human-centered informatic approaches. Now, what is human-centered? Human-centered approach, there have been a lot of talk about, I've been going through the systems, like people using user-centered design. We did focus groups, we did iterative design. What it involves is that who the user is, what the user is, what tasks the user is performing, what are the requirements, and how best is to represent that information to the user so that the user can understand. And not only that we are giving them just an information, we have to also see whether he's being or she is acting upon that information. So some people understand auditory, some people are visual learners. So it is a challenge to really understand or comprehend that what the user really wants. So I think building a user model to have an early adoption of HIT is going to be the critical feature. So somebody saying we have Twitter, YouTube, but is this IT itself causing an information overload? So this is where our lab works. We are focusing in four countries right now, in the US, both in the urban as well as in the rural Nebraska, Brazil, in the northeast part of Brazil. We are focusing in Nigeria and India. A kind of a model which I've been working on is that it's called a SMART, a human-centered informatics approach to deliver public health. And S stands for sustainability, M stands for multi-sectoral, A is for accessible, another A is for affordable, reimbursable, and tailored. So this is a kind of a broad framework based on which our all research built on. These are the four areas where we are focusing: community-based surveillance, consumer health information platforms. This is the topic of my presentation today. The consumer health information platforms, we are calling it as information therapy rather than a prescription therapy. Public health decision support systems and geo-visualization. So this is basically on what the whole lab is focusing on, but for the today's presentation, I'll be focusing on consumer health information platform. The internet adoption, I think everybody is seeing that there's been a rapid evolution on the use of internet. One is the penetration, the second is the adoption. Whether you go into a rural setting, somebody's using a kiosk, somebody's using mobile phones. But even though that there's a rapid adoption of internet, there's also at the same time a huge overload of information. And that's a big challenge. To just give you a background on the use of health information on internet, almost 85% of US adults are using internet. More than half of them are actually looking online for health information. About more than half who have smartphones have looked up some kind of a medical information. And 18% have also consulted online reviews, so which means they are taking some second opinions. So that shows, like, not only just information, but how health information on the internet is becoming itself so popular now. Surprisingly, not only the caregivers, but also the non-caregivers. So this is the very latest data from Pew Research Center, which shows that more than 72% people gather health information online. But surprisingly, both more than family and care support, friends, even they are looking for health information online. So that shows that what is the credibility of the quality of health information on the internet. So a lot of people are being promoting that we should use social media, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. But is it reliable? Is it credible? We don't know. So how internet is changing healthcare? YouTube, Twitter, social networking support groups are coming up, virtual tools, Second Life, Facebook, as well as blogs. That shows that these are the kind of social media tools out there which have revolutionized internet-based healthcare. Now, as more and more people are coming up with these kind of use of technology, there has to be some checks and balances on actually whether it's reliable or not even credible. So everybody is looking at the benefit aspect of it, but it's also important to look at the negative aspect of it. Sorry, the problem. So internet, there's a lot of challenges, but one of the main problems is it's an uncontrolled source of information. Second, the accuracy and the credibility is a big thing. And most importantly also, is it for me? Unsuitable for the right audience. So there are diverse users. There are diverse users having diverse tasks. So is this really for me? Just to give you a background, there have been several criteria, but ARC has provided a kind of a criteria for evaluating health information on the internet, and most of the people do not know about these criteria. So one of them is credibility, how to look at the content, what kind of disclosures you have to make, what kind of links, hyperlinks are there, what kind of a design strategies, design considerations need to be there, what is the level of interactivity, and what are the other caveats. So this is a kind of a report which was put by ARC about some of the criteria which should be looked into to evaluate health information on the internet. Some of the tools which are there, there are a lot of tools, but a kind of a synopsis, each tool has its own pros and cons. Some of them are provider-driven, some of them are consumer-driven, some of them are looking just at usability. So the list of the tools goes on. It's HealthOnNet, medication website, assessment tools, e-health code of ethics, PAT, discern, quality scale, information quality tool. The reason this snapshot has been given is to tell you what kind of tools are currently out there which are evaluating the quality of health information on the internet. There are some of the tools which have been most commonly used. From the kind of a background literature review, it suggests that there is not only just, all these are self-report tools. first of all, and they are questionnaire survey based. So if we go more into interaction of a user with the system, I think a more objective tools need to be created. So for example, we are looking at interaction metrics, how a user engages with a system itself, how much time the individual is spending on a screen, what screen the individual is looking for, how many clicks he is looking for. So that kind of interaction objective data would also help to design new considerations for health information on the internet. So the objective of this study was to evaluate the usability, accessibility, and reliability of information related to sexually transmitted infection and sexually transmitted diseases on the internet. The concept was really that we are applying these usability, accessibility, reliability to any condition which we can apply, but in this context we apply to sexually transmitted infection. What is usability? Can users find what they need to know? What is accessibility? Can all people access the website? And reliability, does the website provide comprehensive, relevant, and unbiased information? The challenge becomes is how do we sustain health information on the internet? So sometimes what happens, a lot of advertising comes. And the moment advertisement of the products comes, that is one of the criteria which has shown that it is of poor quality. So if we are going to write a prescription for information therapy, how do clinicians, healthcare professionals, community health workers, or even lay people can recognize which are those sites which are most important and which are more reliable? So what we did, we used the three search engines, Google, Yahoo, and Bing. The reason we searched is because these have been known to be most common search engines among the audiences. The keywords to search, each of the search engine was sexually transmitted infections and sexually transmitted diseases. We just wanted to look at if somebody has to search about this, what would they get? The search period was August 2011, and the tool which we used was LiDAR tool. And the reason this tool was used because it assessed all the three domains of usability, accessibility, and reliability. It's a 41-item tool. It measures three areas, as I mentioned to you, about the accessibility, usability, and reliability. The scores are given on a scale of 0 to 3. And the LiDAR scores says they can also be looked at stratified. If a high score more than 90%, moderate is 50 to 90%, and low is less than 50%. And one of the advantages of using this tool was it was easily adaptive to multiple health information websites. The kind of a methodology what we use the search words, the most common search engines. We looked at Google, Yahoo, and Bing. From each search term, we picked the first 20 web links because of the research literature which suggests that most of the users do not go beyond the first 20 websites. Now, surprisingly, the way the Google works, it works on a page rank algorithm, which means the more the number of hits to a particular website, that website appears the first. But it does not take into account whether this website is credible enough or not. So what it does, it opens a huge opportunity to really come up with kind of a methodology on how we are going to disseminate reliable public health information on the internet. So the excluded was duplicates was 72. We looked at the final analyzable sample of 48 websites. When we just put the term STI and STDs, these were the number of volume of information which came. So you can imagine I have to go about 8 million sites, I think, to even find what I'm looking for. So the whole idea is that, yes, we are using technology, but are we able to really deliver of what the user really wants? That in itself is a huge overload. So this is the first step what an individual will encounter when he starts to search health information on the internet. Then we looked at a way of comparing the different website categories. The .com, the .org, the .gov, and others, they were the most common website categories which were found on the internet. What it showed that with the term sexually transmitted infections, most common website which came up with was the .com extensions. And the next one was followed by the .org, then the .dot. There was no website with the .gov, and then there were some websites with other which talks about .net or AU kind of websites. And those were our composition of other websites. When we looked at the average LIDAR scores for the two search terms, it was found that with either of them, both were accessible. They were accessible, but looked at the usability and the reliability. Both of them had low usability and reliability. So accessibility has to be distinguished or differentiated with accessibility and reliability. So it's not a question of just making information accessible. It's also a question of making whether the information is usable or reliable. Then we looked at the different website category for each of the terms which we use, the sexually transmitted diseases. If you look at this, the .org here was actually more accessible, but if you compared, the usability and the reliability scores were as low as possible. But in this case, what was happening was that .org had more accessibility among all the categories. The .gov was having more usability, which means that the .gov websites tend to have better LIDAR scores. So it's a kind of a two-way representation of comparing within and between the different diseases and the different website categories. The similar analysis was done for the sexually transmitted infections, and in that case, there was actually no website from .gov. So if you look at it, that .gov, it means how to do the search itself could be a very interesting criteria to be integrated into use of HIT in public health information. But nobody is working in the area of search methods, of optimization, of what should the individual search for. So this is the kind of a stratified analysis on the different categories, low, medium, high. And if you look at accessibility, the .com had the highest accessible scores in the medium categories. You look at the usability, you'll find actually that the .org, which had from medium to high, which means the 7% was actually in the high categories, which means that the usability for the .org was much higher, even though the .org was at 60% similar. So which means there were some websites which were highly usable in the .org category, which were at the highest level. You look at the reliability, the .gov seems to be basically having a criteria on a much better on the medium to high LIDAR scores. You looked at the overall, the .gov was predominantly the way. So it means that if somebody is coming to us and we are going to basically label the quality of health information on the internet, I think this could be a way of prescribing an information therapy to an individual of what high quality websites they actually should go for. Because that is how people are right now making informed decisions about seeking healthcare. The conclusion was that the internet information on STI-STDs was deficient with regard to usability and reliability. There are several major search engines which are available. However, each search engine is resulting in a different kind of a search criteria. And some search engines are better than the others. The reason this has been brought into notice, or you can say into conclusion, is most of the people are now going into looking at websites, internet-based health information to start making decisions about who they need to go for. Some of the lessons learned was there's a more diverse and a huge increasing amount of available information. The availability of health information in languages other than English was limited. And it was surprising that most of the websites which you were searching were actually having just an English function. And even if you click on them to translate, basically the functions were inactive. The third was the patients must know the topic of interest and where to look for. So some kind of a guiding principles need to come up on how to filter the right kind of information on the internet. The fourth was, we need to design a search engine to explore accredited health-related websites. And the labeling of the qualified health websites needs to be taken into place. Because if more and more people are going to start making use of internet-based health information and start making decisions on that, it's very important to talk about the usability and the reliability of the health information. The last, I always say that obstruction is opportunity and innovation is struggle. And I think with that, I wanted to present this kind of an overview of how internet is being now utilized more and more, but at the same time, what are the challenges which the IT itself is bringing with the use of the public health information. We can take the questions at the end of the presentation, I think. And I want to thank you all for taking your time out and coming at the last day in the last session. Thanks a lot.